Welcome back to the Crash Course Podcast. My name is Craig Crash Collins, joined as always by Brandon Scott, otherwise known as B. Scott. The wait is finally over. The 106th Indianapolis 500 is this weekend, and B. Scott and I are here to not only break down an insane weekend of qualifying, but also to give you all the predictions for the 106th greatest spectacle in racing. So whether you're watching on YouTube, you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, if you're in the live stream right now on Twitch, welcome in. We've got a lot to talk about, B. Scott. A lot of IndyCar coming your way. What an insane weekend it was qualifying. And then, of course, the big race this weekend, the 8th Indy 500 to take place on May 29th, B. Scott.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting.
It's all comes together in what part of my predictions later on in the show. Yeah.
So, speaking of predictions and everything, I completely don't remember who we picked for our front rows. I think I got two out of the three correct.
You did have Dixon and VK. I had Dixon, McLaughlin, and Newgarden. I was way off.
And I had Newgarden up there also.
Yeah.
Boy, was that wrong.
Yeah, I think yours was Newgarden, VK, and Dixon. So I got one of the three. You got two of the three. So we were just way off on Penske. What? Okay, so first of all, we'll start there.
So what happened? Penske has the speed. They have the speed. But their draw was horrible.
But they were closer to the top when like the rain came, though. So what happened? Did they get to...
Scott McLaughlin did get to go back out.
Okay.
And his speed and the way the winds were blowing, where there was a headwind going into one, and it inhibited his speed, and this the track was still hot. It wasn't the same conditions as it was that morning. So Scott McLaughlin did not improve his time. In fact, improve his position. In fact, he went from 13th, I believe, or 14th, and dropped all the way to 26th.
I was going to say, because he was knocking right on the door.
Right. The next in line was Joseph Newgarden, but lightning was detected in the area. Literally. I mean, you could see the bolts of lightning on TV. And so they had to clear the stands and wait for that to pass. And by the time, and they had like an hour and a half left. So at that point they called it, and Joseph Newgarden, even though he did move over to lane one, where you sign the contract that says, I am going to pull my time, they allowed him. Connor Daly did it also, and I forget, it was somebody else in that line, but because they did not get to run because of circumstances that were out of their control, like such as the weather, they were allowed to maintain their times. So Joseph Newgarden is starting 14th still. So.
Gotcha. But, well, right. Yeah. Because I remember, so when the rain initially came, I had turned off Peacock for a little bit, and I was just keeping track of the timing and scoring on my laptop. And by the time I saw that Newgarden was back out, that's when I flipped back over to Peacock and saw the lightning. So I wasn't sure if they ever got going again.
He was out there, and he was on his out lap when the lightning hit. So he never really got to take a full run.
I gotcha. So yeah, that explains that. Cause I remember like looking at the graphic that the IndyCar series put out there of like the 13 through 33. And I was like, wait, I don't remember McLaughlin and Newgarden being that far back, but, or I guess Newgarden wasn't that far back, but I don't remember like, you know, McLaughlin. And so I was very confused about that.
For me, you guys got to realize Penske, I feel like they're going to have better race speed.
Oh yeah.
Than they are qualifying.
Right. So let's go ahead and go and dive into it here for the qualifying recap. It all started Fast Friday, not part of qualifying, but it kind of was the prelude to qualifying. You have Takuma Sato. He was the fastest for the third practice in a row. You had David Malukas, who was the fastest rookie.
He had a great weekend.
Seventh quickest. I mean, David Malukas
he got bumped out at the last minute by his own teammate.
Right. Raise some eyebrows for sure about what he can maybe do this coming Sunday. He completed the most laps with 39 as well. Scott Dixon didn't run until after five, which that was kind of odd. He was still fifth quickest, though. And then you had, so the top five was Sato, Alexander Rossi, Pato O'Ward, Marcus Ericsson, and Dixon. Tony Kanaan was eighth. Penske was ninth, 10th, and 11th with McLaughlin, Newgarden, and Will Power.
You got to talk about Connor Daly, though. With the tailwind heading into turn three, topping out at a little over 2:43.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That was one of the fastest trap times in Speedway history.
Yeah. That was insane.
That was unreal.
Yeah. Putting the fast in Fast Friday for sure.
Yeah.
And then, of course, defending series champion Alex Palou was 12th. So that sent us in to qualifying day one. Of course, we mentioned a little bit about it, weather was an issue. There was a little bit of drama too. I talked about last week how, you know, it kind of stinks to not have the drama of bump day. But you kind of had at least
drama.
You had a little bit of drama with the whole incident between Marco Andretti and Takuma Sato, as Sato remains on track as Marco's run was getting ready to start.
His explanation was even worse. Oh, I just didn't know. We just got to have better communication. And I just got to communicate better.
Did you?
Takuma, you are a two-time Indy 500 champion.
And have been at the times track have you raced way longer than that too. Yeah.
Yeah. You've raced in this race how many times? You've qualified for this race how many times? When have you ever been told to stay out on the track while somebody else is coming out to warm up? You always pull off. Always. It was like, dude, this is a common theme with Takuma Sato. There was something earlier on social media last week too, Dario Franchitti talking about one of his Indy 500 wins where he was racing Takuma Sato and he raced him hard and he won. Takuma came up to him after the race and said, you know, you could have given me a little bit more room. And Dario was like, excuse me? What now? I mean, this is the same driver, Takuma Sato, that is getting a nickname out there on the track when he does something that causes somebody else to wreck. It's like, oh, they got Sato'd. And it's ridiculous. Marco Andretti almost got Sato'd in qualifying.
Right.
Come on.
Well, I mean, this has been, it's always been a theme for him. Even back to his Formula One days. I remember when I used to go to the US Grand Prix and it was just always the buzz in the stands. Like, man, Sato is just, you know, out so aggressive. He's just out for,
sometimes it's not even aggressive. It's just driving silly. Like an idiot.
Right.
Sometimes it's like,
I did like too, how, didn't his owner like throw him under the bus too, or his crew chief or somebody on his crew was like, yeah, that's not a communication thing. He just must've had kind of a brain slip, something. So,
but I mean, that wasn't the only drama. Then, like a couple drivers later, you have Colton Herta go out and blow an engine.
Yeah.
And have to repair the thing. And actually, I mean, that counted as his run. And then the other drama was the fact that Juan Pablo Montoya failed inspection that morning. And because he failed inspection, that counted as his one, like, initial run. So he had to come, he had to fix everything and then come back out. And then the other drama is, Stefan Wilson never took a lap the entire weekend.
Yeah.
And because he was the 33rd car, it's like, it makes you wonder, is he going to go out there, do some parade laps at the beginning, run a couple laps, then pull off into the pits and park the thing?
Yeah, that's a little interesting for sure. Cause I haven't really heard much of now, not that we expected him to be, you know,
competitive,
but at the same time,
like that was a slap in the face to tradition. Like you've been going out there and doing this in honor of your late brother who loved the speedway and everything. And what you just did this past weekend was not anything to honor anybody. I mean, that was a slap, like, oh, yep, I'm in. I don't even have to go out. But I can understand it. They are a very, 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 very low budget team. They scraped everything together to get in. People were giving them parts just to get in because of, you know, honoring his brother. And they probably don't have the money for the fuel or the added tires or the ability to make a bunch of changes. So I get it. But at the same time, it's like, He could have gone out there and just treated it as a practice, four laps, and said, that's that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, you mentioned Colton Herta having a mechanical failure. It was the same with Marco as well. He wasn't very fast. Castro Neves has a disappointing run, as does Rossi, two former winners there. And then that's when the rain and the weather rolls in around 2:25. Rena's VK was the fastest at the time at 33.655.
Liar.
He was.
With the drawing the two spot.
Yeah.
Was a great spot for him.
I was pulling for VK honestly during qualifying pretty much all weekend, if not for the fact that like our comment section from the last couple of videos were all about Rinus VK, and I was like, you know what, I want to see him do well. Award and Felix Rosenquist at the time were also on the front row. Sato was 12th, just inside the fast 12 to advance to Sunday.
I was mad about that he got in.
Yeah. And that's essentially that for day one. VK, Award, Rosenquist, Pillow, Kanaan, Jimmy Johnson, Ed Carpenter, Marcus Ericsson, Romain Grosjean,
Fat John got in.
Will Power and Takuma Sato are all in the fast.
Did you know that in French, Grosjean means Fat John?
I didn't know that.
My buddy Pat and I, listener of the show, he and I, now that's all we refer to him as, is Fat John.
That's amazing. I mean, so I'm going to be, you know, obviously be watching the race, you know, on TV instead of being there this year, and I probably will have an adult beverage or two, and that will probably now be referenced at least once. Fat John's doing something out there. Let's go.
This one's buds for you, Fat John.
Oh my gosh, that sounds like something off of like a Real Men of Genius commercial. Today we salute you, Fat John. Oh my gosh.
Formula One driver turned Indy 500 qualifier.
Have you seen the YouTube clip of Romain Grosjean getting mad at Marcus Ericsson for hitting him when Grosjean's car just spins on its own? So I was watching.
Wait, was this IndyCar or Formula One?
This is Formula One. I honestly didn't realize Ericsson.
They also were both in it. Yeah.
So I was on.
I think they were teammates at one point.
Maybe.
They both raced for Haas.
So I was on TikTok, you know, doing my, you know, doom scrolling that I usually do, you know, late at night. And they did that. I don't know if you've seen the trend. It's an older trend where they're like, I'm passing the phone to this person. I'm passing the phone to the guy who's the slowest car in qualifying. And then they like pass it on. They like say, I'm passing the phone, and then they give a description. And so they like were referencing that video in that TikTok. They're like, Grosjean comes on. Oh, actually, no, it goes from a Ward who says, I'm passing the phone to the best firefighter in IndyCar. He passes it to Grosjean. And Grosjean says, I'm passing it to the guy who hit me, and he passes it to Ericsson, who, you know, so if you haven't watched that video, go watch it, because Grosjean's car spins on its own and Grosjean gets over the radio and he's like, oh, I think Ericsson hit us. It was Ericsson. And it's like, no, dude, your car clearly just like lost control on its own. But yeah, so going into Sunday, the fast 12 and the fast 6. Fast 12 went as follows. Scott Dixon had the fast time. He is the new pole sitter. Rinus VK was second. Alex Pillow was third. Marcus Ericsson was fourth. Ed Carpenter fifth, and Tony Kanaan. They all advanced to the fast 6, locked in 7 through 12. Pato Award, Felix Rosenquist, Fat John, Romain Grosjean, Takuma Sato, Will Power, and Jimmy Johnson. Johnson with an insane slide, you know, puts him at 12th. He is able to save it. And then for the fast 6, the run of a lifetime for Scott Dixon. He clocks a time at 2:34.046, the second fastest qualifying attempt in Indy 500 history, the fifth pole for Dixon, which allows him to stand alone as having the second most poles in Indy 500 history, an insane run for Dixon.
I thought Dixie, his four-lap average was the fastest four-lap average.
It is. I was confused on that, too. So it's the fastest four-lap average, but not the fastest.
Second fastest qualifying lap.
So it's the second. Yeah, maybe it's that, because I was like, I know Ari Leyendijk.
There's 2:36.
Right. And the reason there's a discrepancy there is because Ari Leyendijk's was not for the pole, I believe.
He got the pole.
That's just what I've read. So it's just the lap then. Because yeah, I was confused
on
that
single
too.
Lap, the one okay. single lap. So Dixie got the single fast. He got the fastest four lap average in the history of qualifying. Whereas Ari Leindijk holds the single lap track record.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, that was kind of because they referred to it on the broadcast as the second fastest.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure Ari also broke it the next lap too.
Yeah, so that's like what was confusing is because I was like, broadcast had said so had many said of second,
flying around.
And then I saw everywhere where it was like first, and so that was confusing. But you know what? He was fast. That's the underlying theme here. Alex Palou was second. He was at 233.499. Rinus VK was 233.385. Ed Carpenter was fourth at 233.080. Marcus Ericsson was fifth at 232.764. And Tony Kanaan at 232.372 was sixth. So we're doing our standout performance, for the weekend. But yeah, this is going to turn into the Scott Dixon appreciation, next few minutes here. At least that is for me. You go on Scott Dixon too.
I mean, who else would you go with? I guess the only ones I would go, the only other one I would go with would be Roman Grosjean, Fat John, because it's his first Indy 500. He's not an oval expert, doesn't have much experience at Indy at all. And the fact that he was able to get into the fast 12, That was really impressive. And he was the only Andretti car to get into the fast 12 on top of that, which is even more impressive. I mean, if anything, I would almost say Jimmy Johnson kind of had a disappointing weekend because I thought Jimmy was driving a little timid because he had a couple slides. But most impressive just has to go to Scott Dixon. I mean, come on. Yeah, he didn't have the fastest time on Saturday, but he had one of the fastest times of the afternoon, which when nobody was getting good traction, nobody was getting good speed. It was tough running for a lot of people. And he was able to go out there and he was in pretty solid, but for him to come out on Sunday and lay down a flyer like he did, I mean, like somebody said on the broadcast, if there were rails around this place, Scott Dixon would be running on the rails right now because he was using every inch of that track. So, now the question is though, I mean, we know Scott Dixon is a very good qualifier at Indianapolis, but he still only has one Indy 500 to his name, the 2008 Indy 500. Can that speed carry over? It'll be interesting to see what it looks like for him on Friday for carb day. Honestly, I don't think many people are going to show their hands. You're not going to see really good speeds. On Monday, he was right back up there again. So it'll be interesting, I think, to watch him. I still think the two guys on his team to watch for potential winners are still Alex Palou and Jimmy Johnson. But
yeah, I mean, let's take a minute here to just, you touched on it a bit, but look at the weekend for our favorite Kiwi. I mean, his fast Friday, he doesn't go on the track until 5 p.m. an hour left in the session. He runs five laps. He's the fifth fastest. So it's like, all right, typical, pretty standard Scott Dixon, speeds and practice session. Quals day one, he qualifies 10th with a speed of 232.151. He's not happy with it, though.
Gosh, just think if the rain had not come and conditions had improved. I mean, Joseph Newgarden and Connor Daly probably could have put up times to get into the fast 12 and could potentially have
knocked out Dixon.
Knocked Scott Dixon out. He would have only probably fallen back to about 12, but if anybody, like if Alexander Rossi went back out and got a good lap in, or, I mean, it's, there was a strong possibility that on Saturday, Scott Dixon could have been bumped out of the top 12.
Right. And then, you know, from that point on, though, I mean, he gets 10th, the rains come. Day two, I mean, he's the fastest of the fast 12 with a speed of 233.51. And what does he do for an encore in the fast six? Sets a four lap average of 234.046, the fastest pull run in the 106 years of the Indy 500. You know, we talked about that fifth pull, which is the second most in Indy history. First back to back pulls since 2013, 2014, when Ed Carpenter did it. So from fast Friday to fast six, I mean, Dixon just got faster and faster. And when you break a record of an event that's been around for over a century, I mean, that's about as much of a standout as you can get. Like, you can't go more than that. That's why when, you know, I was filling out the outline, I was like, we're probably going to just talk about Dixon for, you know, a few minutes, which happy to do.
You've got to talk about this front row also. This is the fastest front row in the history. Things are looking and pointing towards right now this potentially being the fastest Indy 500. It very well could. I mean, look, these guys were out there on Monday in some more race trims. They were still going. They were going 229s. It's like, because typically on race day, you'll see them. They're more back down about 224, 226, and 229. This it's going to be interesting, and it's going to be a little bit warmer on Sunday, sunny. That track's going to be slicked, so speeds will be down compared to what the weather was on Monday. Monday it was nice and cool and had good sun, but Sunday is going to be about low mid 80s and sunny, so that track's going to be slick. So I don't think you're going to see 229s, but it's still, I mean, heck, anything over 224. I mean, 224 is fast. I don't want to say. Anything over 224 is fast. Like, well, 224 is very fast, Brandon. How many times have you gone 224 miles an hour?
I mean, at least once.
I mean. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting because I think if with that kind of potential speed and track conditions, Sunday could be a little dicey at times.
Yeah.
Especially considering you have so many vets that are starting farther back in the field and do not want to be back there. They know they have a car potentially that can compete for a win. So there's early on, it's going to be crazy.
Row 9 alone is insane. That's Herta, Castroneves, and who else is in row 9? Let's see. I'm going to look up here. McLaughlin, Herta, and Castroneves all in row 9. So that's nuts. So quickly here, before we get on to our Indy 500 predictions here, we want to look at the biggest turnaround from practice to qualifying. For me, biggest turnaround goes to Romain Grosjean. You know, people forget it's me. I'm people that forget that he's an Indy 500 rookie. You know, he's not a rookie for the series, but he is an Indy 500 rookie. You know, and it all starts in April. He's 16th, the open test Indy 500 practices on Tuesday. He's 31st quickest. He ran 83 laps. He's slowest of the cars that would go on to make the fast 12. On Wednesday, he's 23rd quickest. He ran 117 laps. He was 11th quickest of the cars that would go on to make the fast 12. Fast Friday, he's 15th quickest. He ran 10 laps. So like all signs through the practices and open tests point to him being like, mid pack, but, you know, he's probably not going to compete for the fast 12. He qualifies 9th on day one, makes a fast 12 on a day when Andretti Autosport struggles to find speed, and he qualifies 9th for his first Indy 500 as a rookie, and he put together a strong month altogether. So, you know, Romain Grosjean, a big turnaround. You know, was it maybe the biggest in terms of like, oh, the guy, you know, there were some guys who were 29th in practice and qualified 17th, like maybe not, you know, by just sheer like numbers, but just as far as like gradually getting better over the course of the month, it's got to be Romain Grosjean.
Oh yeah, I agree. It's definitely Romain Grosjean, Fat John. Look, Fat John was the only Andretti driver to get into the fast 12. Typically we're used to seeing Andretti drivers, not just one. And when you look at who else they have on that roster with Marco Andretti, Alexander Rossi, Colton Herta, for it to be Fat John that made it, I don't think anybody saw that coming. I know he didn't. But yeah, I agree. He's definitely the biggest turnaround performer of the weekend. Like I said, the biggest opposite turnaround performer, in my opinion, was Jimmy Johnson. But I don't feel like Jimmy was putting it all out there. For some reason, even if you were watching his first qualifying run on Peacock, Townsend Bell and James Hinchcliffe were talking, and Townsend Bell looked over at James and said, you keep flicking your finger. You're shifting a gear. And James was like, yeah, I need Jimmy to shift right now. He needs to get out of fifth and get back up into sixth. He needs to shift. And you could tell he just wasn't running it all out. The fact that he still made the top 12 and wasn't putting it all out there means to me that he may have something come Sunday. Which, you know what, if I'm also Jimmy Johnson and I know I have the speed, I may not want to get front row. I may not want to be on the pole, because that's a lot of pressure for your first Indy 500. That's a lot. Especially for somebody that's got four wins at that speedway in a different series. But it's a lot of pressure.
Prior to that, had a lot of turmoil at the track too.
It took him a while to
first. When within the last 30 years, there's been a car that's crashed in the first turn on the first lap when sitting on the pole, Scott Sharp, and I think that was 2001. Yeah, it's a lot of pressure to lead all those cars into turn one on the greatest spectacle in racing.
Yeah, settle in. You're row three. Who knows? I mean, there may be something to it. Also, at the same time, are you really going to push your car out as hard as you can like that when you know your teammate is sitting on a rocket ship?
Yeah. So is Grosjean your
turnaround performer?
I gotcha. All right. Well, there you have it. That's our recap of qualifying. So all there's left is to give our predictions for the 106th Indianapolis 500. But before we do that, let's go ahead and give a shout out to our friends of the show.
Are you tired of your same old lunch hour of sitting and scrolling through your apps on your smartphone? Have you thought about playing a board game with your coworkers? Eat Lunch and Board Game is a podcast dedicated to telling you about board games that are great for lunchtime fun and some that are probably better saved for after work hours. I've been playing games at my office for over 4 years now, where I have made new friends and business connections that have been very useful. Board games build bridges.
And remember, you can like us on Facebook, 3C Media. Go over to the Twitter page. Give us a follow over there at 3C Media Sports. Go subscribe to the YouTube. Guys, 50 subscribers. Let's go. Claps for everybody out there.
Unfortunately, the local McDonald's ice cream machine was
broken. Machine, it's broken. You guys have been killing it lately, supporting our content over there. So if you haven't already, or if you're watching right now but haven't subscribed, go subscribe, ring the bell, turn noties on. Also, 3C Media on TikTok as well. Remember, you can watch us live on Twitch, twitch.tv/CraigCrash. We have some people in the chat right now. It's Dusty asking, what do we think about Jimmy Johnson? What do we think he's going to do on Sunday?
Hang tight. We're going
to
get there.
Exactly. We'll get to that here shortly. And then remember, you can listen to us every week on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever podcasts can be heard. You can hear the Crash Course Podcast. So now it's time. We're ready to get into the preview for the Indianapolis 500. And first, we want to start off with who's had the best month. We did our preview at the beginning of the month, where we were like, who needs to have a good month? Who needs to shine this month? And the driver that I said needed to have a good month, not because he's having a bad season, but because he's had a bad stretch by his standards, as far as just not winning. And not sitting on the pole.
Nice, man.
Scott Dixon. We said at the beginning of the month, he could use a good month of May to turn things around. And I know it's some of it might be recency bias, but it's hard to not go Scott Dixon here too, as far as who's had the best month. I mean, he's fastest in practice one, second fastest in practice two, second fastest in practice four, fifth on Fast Friday, second in practice six, fastest in practice seven, second in practice eight. Now, granted, some of those are fast 12 and fast, whatever, but still fastest among the fast. He sets a new qualifying record, sits on the pole for the fifth time in history. His worst sessions at Indy are a 10th in the Grand Prix and 10th on the first day of quals. So, I mean, he has had one heck of a month of May, and he needed this. I think he needed to have a good solid month. I mean, because like I said, he wasn't having a bad season. It just wasn't, you know, he's been around the top five, not super contending. You know, he's not dominated a race this year. He's not really contended for a lot of wins. So it's not been a prototypical Scott Dixon season so far, and yet he's really turned it on and had a month of May that, you know, we probably haven't, you know, I don't know if it's completely unprecedented, but it, you know, capped off by an amazing qualifying run. I've got two other shout outs as well, but I want to see if you mention them before I shout them out as well. So go ahead and give me your best month so far.
I mean, yeah, Scott Dixon's having a great month, dating back to the Grand Prix, but yeah, I'm going Scott Dixon, but the guy that is right there knocking on the door that I said needed to have a good month, and he really did start off having a good month, that is Connor Daly. Mm-hmm. I mean, a top five finish in the Grand Prix was awesome. He's had some good practice runs, just trying to get his car in right.
Trap speed record?
Yeah, trap speed record. I mean, he had a bad, bad draw for qualifying, and that's just how the luck of the draw, essentially. And I think had he had a better draw, had he gone out closer to VK, his teammate, I think we would have been talking about Connor Daly in that fast 12, to be honest. So I'm going with Connor Daly just because, I mean, Scott Dixon, yeah, he hasn't won a race in 18 races, but he's still being consistent Scott Dixon.
Right.
Whereas Connor Daly really needed a good performance and to have his name be talked about quite a bit. And he's done that. So my pick is Connor Daly.
Hey, two guys that we said, hey, pick it up. We need you to have a good
and
month.
We're and going into a race I think Connor Daly is going to do very well in.
Right. So yeah, I'm with you there. The two other like honorable mentions I want to throw out there: Takuma Sato was fastest on three consecutive days in practice and made the fast 12. All the controversy aside, and Marcus Ericsson has been fast all month. He was fourth in the Grand Prix, made the fast 12, and has been around the top five in most
Marcus
practices.
Ericsson, you just forget that it's like, oh yeah, he's teammates with Scott Dixon and Alex
right.
Pillow and Jimmy Johnson. It's like he's like that fourth forgotten member of the CGR.
Right.
Clan. It's like, that's right. He is a Ganassi driver.
If Ganassi were a boy band, it's like the last member that you're like, oh, who's that fourth person? Who am I forgetting? And then you're like, oh, that's right. It's this, that's the name that I was trying to think of on the tip of my tongue. But yeah, he's had a pretty good month as well. I he's a driver I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, be in victory lane when it's all said and done. So we're gonna go do an edition of hot or cold, but it's not going to be our typical hot or cold questions. It's going to be our hot or cold Indy 500 edition, where we're going to pick a driver from each row that has the best shot of winning the 106th Indianapolis 500. So we're going to start back to front. It's how I like to do things. Row 11. So in row 11, we've got on the inside, Christian Lundgaard. In the middle, Jack Harvey, and on the outside, Stefan Wilson. I'm going to go with Christian Lundgaard here. Over the last four races, he's improved his finishing position. He was 19th at Texas, which was his worst finish of the season, which I guess doesn't bode well for ovals, but stay with me here. He was 18th at Long Beach, 15th at Barber, and 9th at the Indy GP. So, I mean, he's improved steadily over the course of time. So, I'm going with Lundgaard.
I'm going with Jack Harvey. I mean, he's got Ray Hall power. More of a vet. So I should have picked Stefan Wilson. No. But yeah, Jack Harvey. I think Jack Harvey, if I had to pick from somebody from this row. Now, this next row, there is a little bit of a shakeup. I do believe the middle of this next row is actually gonna have to fall back to the last row
because of a crash. So
practice crash yesterday.
So. Yeah, so a little bit of an asterisk here, but yeah, row 10, as it stood on qualifying, inside Kyle Kirkwood, middle was Dalton Kellett, and then outside Juan Pablo Montoya. So now I think that would push Lundgaard to row 10, and then Kellett to Stefan Wilson.
Last.
Yeah, okay. So I'm going to go with row 10 here. I'm going to go with Juan Pablo Montoya, former winner. And I, just to be frank, I'm mad at Kyle Kirkwood. I wanted him to have had a better rookie year so far. He was my rookie of the year pick going into the season. Now, granted, his dominance at the Indy Lights level was with Andretti Autosport. Now he's with AJ Foyt, so the power isn't quite as strong. Right, exactly. But I'm still mad. I wanted him to have a good season, and he's struggled so far. So
he will. He'll get there eventually. He's just got to pay his dues.
I'm mad.
Got to pay his dues and run around a track in an AJ Foyt car for a while.
Sometimes you just gotta do that for a minute.
Do what you gotta do. I mean, look, Connor Daly paid his dues for a while. Now he's got a full time ride.
True.
Yeah, for me, I'm going with Juan Pablo Montoya as well. I mean, past winner. He's done it before. He's driven from the back and won the thing. So yeah, it's an easy one. Easy pick.
Row 9. This is a very interesting row. Maybe the most fun row in the back of the field. On the inside, you've got Colton Herta. In the middle, you've got Scott McLaughlin. And on the outside, you've got defending champion Elio Castroneves. So, I mean, no driver has won from the middle of row 9. So, sorry, Scotty Mack. I think you were my pick last year, but not going back-to-back with that. Elio is the last driver to win back-to-back races, doing so in 2001 and 2002. He's one of five drivers to win two in a row in Indy 500 history and is the only driver to do it since the 70s, but no driver has ever won five, and I don't know if I'm ready to go Elio here, so give me Herta in row 9. He finished eighth in 2020, won the Indy GP. He's got some momentum. I wanted to look back at 2010 a little bit. We did talk about it last week. A little bit on the podcast, we talked about Tony Kanaan like barely making it in on bump day. And that was a year where all the Andretti Autosport cars struggled in qualifying, similar to this year. And I know it's a 12-year difference, but, you know, it was another kind of similar situation where, you know, once race day came along, the Andretti cars were in good shape. You know, in that 2010, nobody was above 16th for Andretti Autosport on the starting grid. Marco and Danica finished in the top 10. Kanaan finished 11th after starting 33rd. And I think it's relevant because that might be one of their most infamous qualifying stages at Indy. You know, it was 12 years ago, but I think Andretti Green will be ready to go on race day, or Andretti Autosport will be ready to go on race day. So I'm going to go with Herta here from row 9.
I mean, Herta is a good pick. It's just, there's always a question mark when you have to change a motor or change an engine. I am going with Elio. I mean, you can never count him out at the track. And he knows he had a bad qualifying run. And I don't think it was because he had a bad car. I just think he had a bad run. So I'm going with Elio to make it from this row, if I had to pick from this row.
Row 8, outside you have Delvin DeFrancesco. In the middle, you've got Marco Andretti. On the inside, you have Sage Karam. I'm going Marco here. I've always wanted Marco to win after 2006 when he got passed, like, on the last straightaway. And after the issues with, you know, having some mechanical issues and with Sato on day one of quals, I think that gives him a little bit of extra motivation. So more on Marco a little bit later, but I'm going with Marco here in row 8.
Yeah, going with Marco as well. I don't have faith really in Devlin DeFrancesco. Sage Karam is an interesting pick just because he's always seems to be one of those guys that here recently he's up there near the end of the race. You're like, wait, where did he come from? But
who's the Sage Karam guy?
I mean, this is the same Sage Karam that not too long ago left qualifying and went to a senior prom. So he's been around a long time, but I'm going with Marco. Just, I feel like something could click for him. Right. Yep. Now this next row is tough.
Yeah, it was a tough one. Row 7, inside Cam Ellett, who I had as my rookie to watch in qualifying. That didn't work out so well. Bindle Alexander Rossi. And outside Graham Rahal. I'm going to go Graham Rahal here. He had a winning caliber car last year in the Indy 500 before he had a wheel fall off and finished 32nd.
Ended Connor Daly's day as well.
Right. Whenever Rahal has had a bad finish at Indy, he's followed it up with a fantastic run. He was 33rd in 2014. He finished 5th in 2015. And he was 27th in 2019. And finished 3rd in 2020, and of course 32nd last year. So I think he can follow that up with a good run. So I'm going Rahal here.
Yeah, I'm going Rahal here as well. I mean, part of me wants to say Alexander Rossi, but something just seems to be off with him.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I feel like ever since he had that battle with Pagano back in 2019, I believe it was, he just hasn't been the same. It's weird. Like, I don't know. Even when he does his interviews, it's like, he doesn't seem like he's enjoying it anymore, if you ask me.
Yeah, he he that TikTok that I mentioned earlier, he was like upset in that. He's adopted this like angry persona, I think, partially as well, yeah. Which is kind of weird. And it's like, I don't know. Because like, obviously he won the Indy 500 as a rookie. You know, those are the memories I have of him when I was at the track where he, you know, won and was all happy. And obviously you're going to be happy in that moment. But I don't remember Alexander Rossi being this like angry villain, like, arc in the IndyCar series. So I don't know where that's kind of come from. Maybe it's just all of the struggles that he's had. Because this was a guy who on podcasts before were like our championship picks sometimes were Alexander Rossi. And it's not been that.
Was a time where like every week Alexander Rossi was battling for the win.
Right.
And now it's like he's non-existent. It's really strange.
Yeah.
Now we move on to row 6, which is going to be another tough one.
Yes. On the inside, it's Simon Pagenaud, the 2019 champion. In the middle, you have J.R. Hildebrand, who actually sparks an interesting question that I want to ask you, B. Scott. On the outside, Connor Daly. For me, I'm going Connor Daly. He was the 4th fastest in practice 1. He was the 7th fastest in practice on Monday. The sentimental part of me wants to go J.R. Hildebrand after his 2011 incident, literally crashing in the last turn of the 500. Although, right. Although that did ultimately give us
one of the best moments ever.
Exactly. Daly has been slightly quicker than Pagenaud this May, so that's why I'm going with him as well. Set the trap speed record, so he's just had a faster month, I think. So I'm going with Daly. The question I want to ask you though is: would you rather crash from the pole in the first turn of the first lap, or crash as the leader in the last turn on the last lap? Like from the pole,
crash from the pole on the first lap.
Yeah, I think that's what I would go to. Because I mean, that it's one of those things. I was thinking about that moment, you know, when I was looking at the different, you know, the rows and doing my prep for this, and I was
moment skewed. I think it took his career path in a totally different direction.
It's one of those things where I think of, it's kind of like I will always kind of like secretly root for the Atlanta Falcons to win a Super Bowl after 28-3. And that's like kind of what that reminds me of, is like, obviously the crash happened before 28-3, but you get what I'm saying, where like I will always secretly root for J.R. Hildebrand, because I'm like, you need to have one now that you were so close, like literally a turn away. He got through the turn. He crashed on the outside at the end of the turn. So literally it was a straightaway away from winning the 500. So I wanted to pick him, wanted to go with him, but I'm going Connor Daly.
Makes me miss the days of Panther Racing.
Yeah.
That was a good team.
I forgot when I was going through everything, like for like the, like who I was going to pick to win, I forgot that Dan Weldon drove for Panther Racing for a while.
Yep.
I forgot. I was like, oh my, that was the thing for a while. Panther Racing with Sam Hornish, like that was like the bane of my existence, because I was never really a big Sam Hornish fan. I was a Scott Sharp fan growing up. I was never a big Sam Hornish fan. So that Panther car was always so dominant. I was like, come on, I want my guy to be better than him for once, please.
So from this row, yeah, this is a tough row, because it could be any one of these guys, to be honest. But I am going with Connor Daly, just because he's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder after last year. I mean, that was a race that he could have won and should have won had it not been for Ray Hall's tire coming off and hitting the nose of his car. And he was very disappointed in his qualifying run. And his qualifying run, I do believe, was because of the draw and how bad the conditions were at the time. So, and we're seeing that, because, I mean, obviously, like you said, he was 7th fastest in practice on Monday. So he has a good car. He has the speed to be competitive in this race. And I don't see him being in the back of the pack very long.
Row 5, on the inside, you've got David Malukas. In the middle of the row, you have Joseph Newgarden. And on the outside, you have Santino Ferrucci. And you know what? I'm going David Malukas here.
That's not a bad pick.
I'm excited, man. He was, you know, I was looking for a rookie savior in this class. And Interstage right, David Malukas. I was thinking about it. I was thinking about Kyle Kirkwood and how mad I am that he's not doing better. And I was like, you know, I wish there was a rookie that just like, you know, there hasn't been an exciting rookie last year. Cause even last year with McLaughlin, I mean, he was
one of the only rookies that ran full time last
year. Exactly. So rookie of the year by default, he didn't run all that well. Most races. So, and then that it's been the same with this rookie class, but then Malukas has just kind of come out of nowhere. Third last Thursday in practice, seventh on Fast Friday. He barely misses the Fast 12. He was solid at Texas too earlier in the season. He was, that was 11th, which is his best finish of the season. So he's kind of, you know, having a little bit of a resurgence here in the month of May. So I'm going David Malukas.
I do like that pick, but from this row, I have to go with Joseph Newgarden. He's been kind of one of my picks all month long. So I got to ride or die with it. I think same thing for him. Luck of the draw. It was a bad draw. And I think he's got more there. I mean, if you look at this, the open test in April, when that was more race trims and everything, he was one of the fastest. So Joseph Newgarden is going to be up there.
Row four, on the inside, it's Takuma Sato. In the middle, it is Will Power. And on the outside, it is Jimmy Johnson, as we're now into the group that made quals day two. And, you know, here you go, Dusty in the chat. I'm going Jimmy Johnson. He's been in either the top three or top five all month in practice. He's a four-time winner at the Speedway, albeit obviously in a different, entirely different race. But still, he's a four-time winner. He knows how to win at this place. You can't really go wrong. It's kind of a coin flip between him and Sato, but I'd rather see the story here. I want to see Jimmy Johnson win, probably put, you know, a little bit of a DraftKings bet on it. We'll see what happens. That's probably going to jinx him, but oh well. But I really,
oh, great. It's the crash kiss of death. Maybe
I should stay away from it, but yeah,
put it on Sato.
I really want to see Johnson do well. I think he will have a good run. And I think I want to see the story. I want to see him, you know, this would be the first driver to win the Brickyard and the Indy 500.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty incredible. So I'm going with Johnson.
Yeah, I'm going with Jimmy Johnson as well. Can't go with Takuma because he could Sato the entire row and, you know, and Will Power and I, we've got that rivalry.
Exactly. I wonder what, so sneak peek of what our thumbnail will look like, is that why you didn't like the Power version of the thumbnail?
Maybe.
I was like, I'm going to include Power on this thumbnail because he's a former winner, but I'm going to see which one B-Scott likes of the two of these.
You know what you need to do for a thumbnail is find the picture of Will Power after he won the 500 and he's like screaming. He's like, aha,
that's the one.
Find
I
that. Okay, when you need to put a picture of me right next to him, looks like he's yelling at me.
Oh my gosh. Hey, I've been asking for you to give me you know, poses and faces that I can use in thumbnails. So maybe this is the time. I mean, you know, all I need is the face. You can send me the other pictures later, B Scott, but
Well, no, everybody can get those. You know, onlyfans.com/BMScott1187.
BM Scott, it's in the name right there. We don't know what's gonna happen.
I'm here for all your needs.
Oh my goodness.
No, but yeah, I'm going with Jimmy Johnson here just because, like I said, I don't feel like he showed everything in qualifying. I feel like he's going to be much better and more comfortable in the race because he's going to have more time to allow things to kind of just unfold for him and kind of get a good feel of it. He's starting in a good spot. There's no pressure. You're not leading the pack. You're not far back. You're not in the middle of the pack. You're right there in the first few rows. You can kind of see how some of these veteran drivers let it unfold in that opening time. I think he's in a really good spot starting there. And I expect him to be up there near the front.
So that begs another question, B Scott. This is what I thought of as well. You know, my family and I were talking about like four-time winners at the Speedway and stuff like that. Now, obviously, Johnson, like I said, would be the first one to win both races. But now that the Brickyard has changed, let's say Johnson decides I'm going to run the road course for NASCAR as well. If he were to win that, would he be a five-time winner of the Brickyard, or would you split it up? Because the Brickyard 400 is not the Brickyard 400 anymore.
No.
So would you consider that a four-time? I mean, he'd be a five-time winner at the Speedway, but he wouldn't be a four-time Brickyard winner.
So we have two five-time winners.
Jeff Gordon and Michael Schumacher. Right. But I mean, would you consider him a five-time Brickyard winner, or he won four Brickyards and won Verizon in 200 at the Brickyard or whatever it's called?
I don't know. When it comes to these types of things, I would just say, you know what? The man has conquered the Indianapolis Motor Speedway five times, one way or another. And if he won this race, and then I don't see him ever getting back in a stock.
Is just for the sake of the question. But I'm just
because at that point he'd be the only six-time winner in the history of the track.
Right.
So I don't think it really matters. I think at that point, because he's won, he would have won in a totally different series as well. You just got to say he's a five-time, he's conquered the Indianapolis Motor Speedway five, six times.
So the question more or less is if a driver won the Brickyard 400 and then won what it is now, would you consider them a two-time Brickyard winner? That's ultimately what the question is.
No, I wouldn't, but I would still consider them a two-time winner at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
So in row three, we've got Romain Grosjean on the outside, Felix Rosenquist in the middle, and then on the inside you have Pato O'Ward. I'm going Pato O'Ward, coin flip between the two aero cars here, but I'm going O'Ward. He's been the most consistent this year. That's really all that it is. So I'm going to go Pato O'Ward here. They've both been fast.
Yeah, I'm going with Pato O'Ward here as well, just because he's got a little bit more skin in the game when it comes. He's up there contending for a championship, so he needs a good run and he's also fighting for his future as well. Contending for an Indy 500 would also help that. Not that he's going to lose out on his job. I mean, it's just, he's looking at all of his options, but I really wanted to say Fat John here just because he did pretty well at Texas and it was kind of surprising how well he did. And he's just kind of been surprising this month. So why not? But gut says Pato.
Yeah. Row two on the outside, it's Tony Kanaan, the 2013 winner of the Indianapolis 500. Inside, it's Marcus Ericsson, it's Marcus Ericsson. And on the inside, it's Ed Carpenter. I'm going to go with Carpenter here. Carpenter has been a touch quicker than Kanaan. As much of a fan of Tony Kanaan as I am, I got to go Carpenter because of that. Kanaan's best Indy performances since winning in 2013 have been under Ganassi Power, but
surprise, surprise,
he was in one of their primary cars up to 2017. He was in the number 10, which is another kind of fact that I forgot about. I forgot he was in the 10 car up until 2017. And then when he was 10th last year, it was in the car that Jimmy Johnson is in this year. Mm-hmm. So, this is kind of a newer, not that he won't be fast. Obviously he is fast, but it'll be a new car that he's running. We kind of a little bit of an unknown. So I'm going to go with Carpenter here to be the best out of that row.
Yeah. I'm going with Ed Carpenter as well. I don't know. I kind of feel like Ed's due.
Yeah.
Ed is due. I think if Ed were to win this race, Ed never steps foot into a race car again and just runs his team. He's already heading that direction by saying I'm only running the Indy 500. But if Ed were to win this race, I think Ed just walks off into the sunset and runs his team.
Oh yeah. And then row one, outside Rinus VK, in the middle it's Alex Palou, and on the inside it's Scott Dixon. And it's Scott Dixon for me for all the reasons we've already listed. Not too much more that we can say about the incredible month that Dixon has had, but I think he's got the best chance to win it out of the drivers on that row. It's tough.
I'm going with Alex Palou because look, this is a guy that was second last year. He's a consistent driver. He knows how to win races. He's a champion driver. Scott Dixon, like I said, he's started on the pole five times, still has only won the Indy 500 once.
Right.
Once. He's
and literally the only The only time he won was from the poll. So he's won four polls since then and has no wins. So,
and he's still currently on an 18 race winless streak.
True.
So I'm going with Alex Palou just because he is a very aggressive driver, not in a bad way, not in a Takuma Sato aggressive way. Alex Palou just knows how to wheel his car. And I would be surprised if we're seeing Alex Palou standing in victory lane, dumping the milk over himself come the end of the day, Sunday.
So speaking of who we think is going to be, you know, drinking the greatest nectar in all of motorsports, it's time for our Indianapolis 500 predictions. We've gone all the way through it. We've broken down the race row by row, and now it's time to give our rookie of the year, dark horse, and our winner. So starting with rookie of the year, I'm going to go David Malukas. He really shocked me in qualifying. He's been a fast car. You know, I'm going to go with the driver whose best finish of the year came on his only other oval, which is, you know, that 11th at Texas. He was 12th in the Indy GP. He's been solid in practice. He's, like I said, he surprised us in quals, near only missing the fast 12. And I think he's in line for a good debut at Indy. So I'm going Malukas. I have an idea who you're going with as well. And I kind of thought about him too. And, but I think Malukas can sneak up there and have a really good run. And it's going to be kind of the Sage Karam effect. We're going to look and be like, oh, David Malukas finished sixth at the Indy 500. That was weird. So I'm going with David Malukas here.
I'm going with Jimmy Johnson. I mean, he's a rookie. I mean, look, if I wanted to, I should have gone with Fat John, because Fat John was the highest qualified rookie out of the entire field.
True.
Which is even more surprising. But I just feel like Jimmy's going to have a really good day. I mean, it's going to be tough to pick against the Ganassi drivers, to be honest. It's going to be very tough to pick against them.
Yeah.
Honestly, I feel like your winner comes from either Ganassi or Ed Carpenter Racing this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's very possible. So for the dark horse, look, I've got two foolproof methods of picking.
This is a tough one.
The first to help me pick my dark horse. Look, when you have a race, an event that has given you 105 years of history, it's a big enough sample size where you just got to listen to the history. You got to go with the history books, man. This year's Indianapolis 500 is on May 29th.
Here we go.
It is the eighth Indy 500 on May 29th. I've got two of them that are like this, by the way. The last three have been won by an iteration of Andretti Autosport. In 2005, it was Dan Weldon for Andretti Green. In 2011, it is Dan Weldon for Brian Herta Autosport. And in 2016, it was Alexander Rossi for Andretti Herta. The last two May 29th Indianapolis 500s have been won by car number 98.
Wow.
That is Dan Weldon, who was number 98 in 2011, and Alexander Rossi, who was number 98 in 2016. So May 29th, car number 98 is going to win. And they're going to come from the Andretti Autosport stable. Car number 98 is being driven by a driver who struggled in qualifying, but was eighth in the last practice before carb day, Marco Andretti. He is my dark horse for the 500. He's done everything but win the race. He was, you know, leading the race on the final stretch in 2016 before being passed by Sam Hornish. He's done a barrel roll at the track before. He's sat on the pole. He's led the thing. He's done everything but win. I think it could be Marco's year this year. It should also be noted, and it preludes my method for picking my winner. Elio won his fourth last year. Rick Mears was the last driver to enter the four win club before Elio. Mears is fourth in 1991, preceded Al Unser Jr. in 1992. So that was a driver getting their fourth, preceding the first win of a member of Indy royalty. You know, the Unsers are Indy royalty, and also the Andretti's are as well. So a little bit of a looser correlation there than the others that I've brought up there, but just kind of another tidbit to add. So my dark horse after that big long speech is Marco Andretti.
I'm trying to figure out what your picking method is here. So Elio won his fourth last year. Rick right. Mears was the last driver before Elio to enter the 4-win club. His fourth came in 91. In 92, Al Unser Jr. won. So the last time a driver entered the 4-win club, a new generation of Indy royalty took home the following 500.
Right. So Al Unser Jr. won 2, Al Unser Sr. won 4. That's 6 Indy 500s. I mean, the Unsers are part of Indy 500.
Oh, and this is why you're okay. This is preluding to my winning pick. So I wasn't making a correlation there.
But with
so,
Andretti. Okay,
you're
yeah,
talking
sorry.
About Andretti.
Right, yeah, I was talking about got Andretti. So, yeah, it, that, got sorry it. If that I'm was like, unclear. Yeah,
wait, I see minute. Who you're picking as the winner. I'm like, that
that doesn't make any
IndyCar
sense.
IndyCar royalty? What are you talking about?
No, I was still talking about Andretti. So that makes a little bit more sense. So yeah, Marco Andretti is my dark horse.
So, this is a tough one to pick, a dark horse, because I've had so many like guys that I think can be up there. I'm going to say Ed Carpenter. I mean, I know he's starting up close, but he's been so close so many times. I mean, it was the one year I think he had the best chance to win. He got taken out by J.R. Hildebrand. Same thing with Marco. You know, he's been close. He's led laps. He's been on the pole. Just has done everything but win it. So Ed Carpenter. It's been a long day.
Look, if I'm going down the Andretti Autosport road, I know that Tony Kanaan didn't win in Andretti Autosport, but I would say that Tony Kanaan's car when he won in 2013 was one of the more underwhelming paint schemes. And that's how I feel about Marco Andretti's paint scheme. Cause I was just thinking about like, I love that New York Stock Exchange car. I loved his Venom. Was that an energy drink? I know that's not around anymore, but
Venom was an energy drink.
Yeah.
That was when he almost got bumped out. He had to.
No, that was the car he won the pool in. That was 2 years ago. Never mind. That was the year he almost got bumped. You're right. I was thinking of 2 years ago, but.
Because that was 2011.
Yeah. But yeah, those cars, that he's had some good liveries, and this is probably one of the more underwhelming ones. And so maybe that's the thing. So
maybe
I like Ed Carpenter, though. I mean, he's one, my mom and dad were talking about the other day, too. That's a driver they would like to see win as well. I mean, just all the times.
And in a guy from Indy.
Right. Winning the Indy 500. You know,
Butler grad, everything. It's just. Yeah, and then, yeah, I would love to see it. I'd love to see just one of his cars even win it. I think that would be a big deal for him, too.
Yeah.
Especially if it was Connor Daly. An Indy guy driving for another Indy guy winning the Indy 500.
So speaking of winning the Indy 500, it's time to give our picks, finally, of who wins the 106th running of the greatest spectacle in racing. And a while ago, I talked about four-time winners. A.J. Foyt became the first four-time winner in 1977. Al Unser Jr., or sorry, Al Unser won his third in 1978. The second to enter the four-win club was Al Unser in 1987. His win preceded Rick Mears winning his third in 1988. Last year, Elio became the fourth driver to enter the four-win club. There are currently two drivers who in the field who have two wins. B. Scott, can you name them?
Juan Pablo Montoya and Takuma Sato.
Yes. Only one of those drivers, though, has been fast all month and was in the fast 12, and that is Takuma Sato. I'm going with Takuma Sato to win. Am I saying he's going to win four? He might. I don't think he will. But I'm just saying
I don't think he'd be a good ambassador for the four-win club at all.
It's preceded every four-time winner has preceded a driver who won their third. So I'm going with good old Takuma Sato.
I hope not. That's always so disappointing. I'm not a Takuma Sato fan. I don't like the way he drives. But I am not going with one of the drivers that I have picked, one of the drivers that I follow intently and closely. I'm going with Alex Palou. I mean, his resume the past 2 years says he can do it. He almost did it last year. I think he gets it done this year. Super consistent driver, and that's what you have to be in order to win this race, is super consistent. And I think Alex Blow gets that job done, stays consistent, and is going to be kissing the bricks, pouring the milk on himself, like I said earlier, come the end of the day on Sunday.
Well, there you have it. There are our picks for the Indianapolis 500. So all that's left is for us to recap it again, or recap it next week. But we're really excited for the race and hope you guys enjoy your Indy 500 experiences. Remember, you can like us on Facebook, 3C Media. Go follow us on Twitter at 3C Media Sports. Go subscribe to the YouTube channel. Again, thank you for 51 subscribers. Go ring the bell. Go hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. 3C Media on TikTok. You can watch live every week, twitch.tv/crankcrash. And remember, you can listen every week on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever podcasts can be heard. You can hear the Crash Course podcast. You can find me at Crash Course FM on Twitter. B. Scott, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Brandon_Scott87.
Again, we'll be back again next week to recap the 106th Indianapolis 500 and give a look at the second half of the IndyCar season. But until then, have a good one, everybody.